The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Yevamot. Masechet Yevamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Mechol Maaseh Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nahat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Just a note of interest. As we study Masechet Yevamot, many of the cases need diagrams. We have chosen the Sefer Siyurim l'Masechet Yevamot as our book for the diagrams, written by Aharon Shlomo Berabi Baruch Moshe Hafner, available in the bookstore. So when we refer to pages, we are using that sefer.
Daf Mem Vav. Today's daf is being studied. La'enu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem He Amud Bet, and we start four lines from the bottom. Amar Bi Yoshua Ben Levi. Well, actually, Amar Rav Hamma Bar Guria. Amar Rav. Three lines on the bottom. Halokeyah Eved Minna Oved Kochavim. The person bought an Eved from a Goy. Now we're talking about over here an Eved Kena'ani. Now understand how an Eved Kena'ani works. Usually when he's bought by his master, the Jew, immediately he has to convert him. He gives him a brit milah. He also immerses him in the mikveh. You have tevilah. And he's considered Jewish partially, meaning he's hayav in certain mitzvot. Basically the mitzvot that ladies would be hayavot in. And then after the adon, the Jew frees him eventually. So then he has to go to the mikveh again. And then he becomes a full-fledged Jew with his freedom. He's like a ger. Okay? So now the question is like this. Halokeach eved min ha'oved kuchavim. He bought an eved from the oved kuchavim. Ve'kadam ve'tabal l'shem ben horim. Kana atzmo ben horim. And he went, this eved, and he jumped the gun, and he dipped himself in the mikveh. And his kavanah when he dipped in the mikveh was he did it for the sake of being free. Which means he didn't dip in the mikveh for the sake of avdut, which is the normal kavanah that the master dips him in the mikveh, but he did it in order that he wants to be a free person, in order to convert. And the Gemara says he's free. So even though the Israel bought him, he loses him. Finished, the guy's Jewish now. Once he's Jewish, you cannot keep him as a slave. So the Gemara says, my tama, what's the logic? I thought you bought him. Don't you own him? How could he go now and just go out of your reshut by dipping in the mikveh and freeing himself? So the Gemara says, logic. Oved kochavim gufa lo kanile. She's the goy that sold this goy, because he bought him from a goy, doesn't own him. There's no kinyana guf, which means when the goy sold the eved to the Israel, he didn't sell him his body. He doesn't own his body to sell him. So what did he sell him? May de kanile. Who the maknilel Yisrael? What the goy owns in this eved, that's what he's able to sell to the Yisrael. And what does he own? He owns maaseh yadav, which means he owns his work. He owns his service. So therefore, he's selling him rights that this guy over here can work for you, but he doesn't own him. And therefore, technically, all the Yisrael at the time of the purchase has on this Ovid Kochavim is what we call a Shi'bud, which means he has rights to the Eved, but the Eved himself still belongs to himself. So therefore when he goes and jumps into the mikveh, the Shem Ben Horin, he can acquire himself in freedom. Because if the Goy would be selling him the actual body, the physical body, so then he doesn't own himself already. So therefore he cannot go dip in the mikveh, cannot do anything against the will of the master. But since all the master has, the Israel that is called the she'bud, he has a lien on him. Which means you owe me your ma'asi yadav. So therefore, v'chev an dekadam v'tabal l'shem ben horin, Once already he goes and dips himself in the mikveh for the sake of Ben Hurin to be a free man. So the shi'bud, so the lien that the Yisrael has on him, goes off. He's able to take the lien off. Now, at this point, when he goes into the mikveh, he's going to become free. Jeez, he doesn't become an avid every either. Because he's not dipping for the sake of avdut. He's dipping for the sake of behorin. And therefore he goes free in totality. Okay, he becomes a Yisrael gamur. So he loses all his rights in the Eved now. This guy bought an Eved and that's it. He went to the mikveh on his own. He loses his money. He can't even use it for ma'aseh yadav. So the Gemara gives a proof to this concept. Gemara says, "Kederava, damar rava hikdesh hametz v'shehrur mafkiin mide shi'bud." We have a case over here where a person, let's say, owes somebody money. Okay, he owns a Jew money, let's say, and the Jew makes what's called or the fellow that owes the money, let's say, the makes a apotiki. What is an apotiki? Apotiki is rashe tevot. Po tehe ka'e. Which means he tells him, listen, I'm taking my debt from this item. Which means he's putting away like a collateral on an item. Which means you owe me the money, I'm taking it from this piece of property, for example, let's say it is. So the Gemara says, let's say he did it on an animal. Told him, sure is it, this ox over here, this is where you're going to get your payment. Okay, that's it. The Jew told the other guy, you're going to get it from this ox. And then the Jew came along and he made it Hekdesh. Which he said, this ox over here now belongs to Hekdesh. Now, when the Jew made the Hekdesh, it's in his possession. Even when he says apoteki, that here's where you are able to take your debt from, the creditor only has a lien on the item, but the item itself belongs to the owner, and therefore till he pays it. So therefore he's able to make it hekdesh, and therefore that's it. He cannot take payment from it. So the other guy cannot come along, so the creditor can't come along and say, hey, that's my short, you have no right to make it hekdesh. No, until he pays him, all he has is a lien on them, and therefore he's able to make it hekdesh, and therefore he cannot take payment from it anymore. I'll give you another example. The Gemara says hametz. Let's say a Jew borrowed money from a goy. Right, so the Jew tells the goy, apoteh ka'eh, you can take my hametz. She says, I'm going to pay you from my hametz. He put that as the collateral. Now all of a sudden, hametz, Eid Pesach comes. When Eid Pesach, after the sixth hour, the hametz becomes asur, bahana'ah. He's not allowed to benefit from the hametz. He has to burn the hametz. So therefore, the goy loses out. She says, he cannot take that from this hametz anymore. Again, why? Because all he had was a shi'bud on the hametz. Now, once the Eid of Pesach comes, the Jew cannot benefit from the money, he's got to get rid of it. So therefore, he cannot take from the hametz anymore. Or the third case would be shihrur. Let's say he has a Eved Kana'ani, this Jew, and he tells his creditor that, listen, I'm putting my slave as a collateral. So now, what did he do? He freed him. He freed him, that's it, he goes free. Again, the logic is he cannot go now take from the Eved. Why? Because it remains in the possession of the owner until the creditor takes it. All the creditor has on it is a sha'bud again. So what are you seeing from all these cases over here? Specifically, like say the last case as well, that when a person only has a sha'bud on something, so therefore he doesn't own it. And therefore back to our case, when the fellow bought an Eved from an Oved Kochavim, so the fellow, the Jew that bought it, all he has on the Eved is his Sha'bud. He just has a lien on him. He doesn't own him. He has a lien on him, meaning the Eved owes him Ma'asi Yadav. He owes him his work, but he doesn't own his body. Therefore, the Eved belongs to himself. And therefore, if he jumps the gun and he jumps into the mikveh for the sake of being a free man, he goes free. So that's the concept that when a person has a lien on something, he doesn't own the item. Just like by the apoteki. The guy owes the money, he could make the animal hekdesh, he could make the hametz becomes a surbana because it's in his possession, and he can free the slave. And the creditor can't come along and say, hey, that's mine, I got a shemur on it. You only have a lien. You do not own the item itself. So that's the din of the Gemara. Mativ Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda asks a question. Ma'ase bibluria agiyorit. The convertess, a lady. Her name was Bluria. Shekadmu avadeha vetavlu lefaneha. She had servants as well. She was a goya, and she had avadim that were goyim as well. The goyim went, and they went into the mikveh, and they dipped l'shem ben horin. And it says they did it lefaneha. They did it before she converted. So the Gemara says, uba ma'aseh lefnei hachamim. So the case came in front of the rabbis. Ve'amru kanu atzman b'nei horin. They came along and said, that's it, they bought themselves free. Because bottom line, at the time that she was non-Jewish, so she doesn't own the goyim, she doesn't own the servants. If anything, she has a lien on them. She has ma'asiy adab, ma'asiy adahim, but they're free to themselves. So therefore, when they went to the mikveh, they had kavanah l'shem ben horin. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. The rabbis only allowed the slaves to go free because they went to the mikveh before Bluria converted. But it's mashma that if Bluria would have converted already, and then the slaves would jump into the mikveh, they would not go free. That goes against what we're learning till now. We're learning now that when the Jew owns the... when the Jew buys, for example, David Kanani has the, he only has a shabur on him. David Kanani can go to the mikveh and free himself. Here was master of the story of Luria, was saying that only because they jumped into the mikveh l'shem ben horin before she converted, but after she converted, that would be mashma, like after she converted, like she was koneh nad avadim as a Jew, and still we're saying what, they cannot go to the mikveh to get themselves ben horin. So it's a stira on what we're saying in the Gemara over here. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says no. Lefaneha, which means if the slaves would have jumped into the mikveh before Bluria became a convert, ben bistam, ben bimeforash, then we would say they can go to the mikveh, these avadim, whether they went stam, without having kavanah, specifically l'shem ben horin, or of course if they had kavanah, mefureshet, which means when you go before the owner converts, then we're even more lenient. No matter what kavanah they went, when they went to the mikveh, even stam, it's okay. I'm going to explain you the logic why stam is okay in that case. Because when a convert converts the shem, the shem eved, when an eved kanani becomes an eved, he becomes hayav in partial mitzvot. Now, before Bluria becomes a Jew, it's not advantageous for these slaves to become now a slave to her. That's going to have partial mitzvot, because since she's not Jewish, they're going to have a hard time fulfilling mitzvot in her domain. So therefore, lefaneha, the assumption is even stam, they're doing it for ben horin, because they just go out of the house, they're free. Yeah. They're able to fulfill mitzvot and they're free. So that's why lefaneha ben bistam ben memeforash, it's going to be a kinyan, which means they koneh themselves. Leahareha, but after she converts again, they also could jump in the mikveh and free themselves. Because even after she converts, she only has a sha'bud of ma'asiyada. But it's different after she converts. Bimeforash in. Then dafka, they have to be miforash. They have to say specifically they're dipping the shem ben horin to be free. Bistam, no. But stam not. Because in stam, I'll say maybe they want to become slaves. Because anyway, she's Jewish. So therefore, if they become a slave, it's not to their disadvantage. Because bottom line, she's fulfilling mitzvot. So they're able to fulfill the mitzvot as well. That's why the only haluk is achareah. You got to do it b'miforash. But you see what? According to all opinions, the Eved themselves, when it's under the jurisdiction of the Jew, when he buys it, when he acquires it, all the Jew has in it is kinyan, shabud in it, kinyan mamon we'll call that. That therefore, you don't own the Eved, so therefore he's to himself. So if he wants to go to the mikveh before the owner puts him in the mikveh, the shem avdut, he's able to do that. So now the Gemara says, Amar of Avya. This halakha that Rabba said is only talking about where he bought an Eved from Oved Kuchavim, he bought it from a Goy. So then we say what? That since the Goy doesn't own him, the Goy only owns Masi Yadav, so he can only sell him what he owns, and therefore it's only a Shemud. Aval Oved Kuchavim Gufe. But let's say the Ovid Kohen himself sells himself to a Jew, Kane. The goy can actually sell his goof to the Jew, Nafkamina. Lamavia saying, once the Jew buys him, finish. He cannot dip himself to Shem Ben Horin. So the Rav Avia wants to make a chiluk in the halacha between a Jew buying an Ovid Kohen from a goy or buying the Ovid Kohen from himself. He wants, when he buys from himself, the goy himself can sell him his goof. Yeah. So the Gemara says, how do you know this? Tichtiv, v'gam mibenei atoshavim agarim amachem mehem teknu. Torah says, from the dwellers that live amongst you, you can buy from them. You can buy slaves from the goyim. So the Gemara is Doresh. Atem konim mehem. You're able to buy slaves from them. Ve'lo hem konim mikem. But they cannot buy from you. A goy cannot buy a Jew as a slave. Ve'lo hem konim zemizeh. Nor do the goyim allow to buy slaves from one to another. The law of slaves, only a Jew can buy from a goy. So the Gemara says, "Ve'lo hem konim mikem." What do you mean? It says that they cannot buy from us. They cannot buy a Jew as a slave. Lemai? For what law? Ilema lemaasi yadav. If you're going to tell me that a goy cannot buy a Jew to have him work, which means we're not talking about owning him. Maybe you'll tell me that a Jew, a goy, cannot buy a Jew even from maasi yadav as a worker. That's not so. Atu avet kochavim lo kani leli Yisrael lemaasi yadav. What, a goy cannot buy a Jew to have him work for him for maasi yadav? It's a befirush pasuk that says you can. Vaketiv ol le'eker mishpachat ger. Torah says, let's say a Jew came on hard times. So it says he's able to sell himself to mishpachat ger. Now what is mishpachat ger? Ve'amar mor mishpachat ger ze'a avet kochavim. So you're allowed to sell yourself to a goy for ma'asi adav. So when it says that they cannot buy you, it cannot mean for ma'asi adav. Because a goy can buy a Jew for ma'asi adav. El alav legufeh. It must mean it's saying that a goy cannot buy a Jew. He doesn't own him. Doesn't become his property. V'kama rahmana atem konim mehem. But what does it say? You, what they can't do to you, you can do to them. That's ma'asra what? Afilu gufeh. Even the person themselves you could buy. So therefore Rav Avia substantiates his statement by saying what? That when you buy the goy himself, you're able to buy himself. Okay. Which is what you're not allowed to do by a Jew. Which is the goy cannot do by a Jew, doesn't own him. But it's about, there's a case where you're going to buy from the goy and you're going to own him. So what's that case? When you're buying the goy himself. That you're buying his goof. And if enough kamina, if he would jump into the mikveh, the Shem Ben Horin, he has no rights to do that. Because when you're buying the goy from himself, you bought himself. It's not merely a shi'ibud. So the Gemara says, Parich Rav Aha. So Rav Aha asks the question on Rav Avia. Who told you to learn like that? Ema bechaspa ubitpila. Maybe I'll tell you that his goof is only nikneh when you paid money for him, and then you put him in the mikveh. Which means, where did you see in this braita that when you're saying you can acquire the goof, it means just by paying him? Maybe in a chinameh, that the only way you acquire the goof is that you have to pay money and you have to dip him in the mikveh l'shem avdut. So if you have no ra'aya that buying an eved from a goy or buying the goy, the eved himself, is any different. Bottom line, all you have is a shi'bud, and therefore until you dip him in the mikveh for the sake of avdut, technically he's on his own, and he can go dip in the mikveh and beat you, and do it in the Shem Ben Horin, and he goes free. So therefore the Gemara says, kasha. Yeah, so bottom line, you have a kasha on the Vavya's premise. The Vavya tried to come along and say, there's a difference when you buy Ovid Kohavim direct, you're getting kinyan goof. Who told you? Well, agreed, the Braita didn't say you get kinyan goof. But maybe that means it's only kinyan goof after you dipped him in the mikveh l'shem avdut. But before you dipped him in the mikveh l'shem avdut, maybe he's still like a kinyan namor. Therefore, he has a right also to jump in the mikveh, like the case where you bought it from the goy. And therefore, you have no ra'ayah that there's a difference between buying from an Ovid Kohavim or Ovid Kohavim gufe. So Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says like this: V'sarich le'tokfo b'mayim. You have to force him in the water, which means whenever you're going to buy an Evit Kana'ani, there's always a concern that you're going to dip him in the mikveh, because that's the halakha. You got to dip him in the mikveh, the shem gerut. But always when the goy can come out of the mikveh, can always say, oh, by the way, I did it to cover on the shem ben horin, I'll see you. I'm free. So therefore, you have to dip him in the mikveh in a certain way where he cannot have that claim. Now, so how do you do that? You force him in the mikveh, which is even the way that you dip him, you have to do it in a forceful way to show that you're his master. So he cannot come along and say, well, I was doing it l'shem ben horin. The way that you dip him has to indicate that it's l'shem avdut. For example, the Gemara says, ki ha de min yamin, avde de Rav Asher. Min yamin was the servant, Eved Kanani, of Rav Asher. Ba'al atbule. He had to now dip him in the mikveh. So he gave him over to the rabbis. He let the rabbis dip him in the mikveh. Amar lehu, hazu deminaychu kabaitle. So listen, I'm holding you responsible, rabbis. Make sure that when you dip in the mikveh, he doesn't come back and say, I dipped the Shem ben Horin. Because if he says you dipped the Shem ben Horin, I lose my slave. So I'm holding you accountable. Make sure you dip him the right way. I want the slave. I don't want to lose him. So what happened? Ramu le arvisa b'savare. They put a leash around his neck. They dipped him with the leash around his neck. Arpu le, they loosened it at one point. V'tzimtzimu le, and then they tightened it. Arpu le ki eki delo le v'hatzitza. Well, they had to loosen in the beginning when he was dipping, so the water goes between the collar, so it's not going to be a hatzitza in the mikveh. Tzimtzimu le, but then they tightened it. They tightened it so he cannot come along and say, oh yeah, I dipped the Shem ben Horin. What the Shem ben Horin? You have a leash around your neck. How could you come along and think that you dipped the Shem ben Horin? So the leash was a method that Hachamim did in order that the guy is going to be an Eved. He's an Eved already in the mikveh. Right, they have the leash on. You cannot come over and say you did the Shem ben Horin. What ben Horin? You have a leash around you. They tightened it. Now the Gemara says they went even a step further. Not that they had to go any further. This was already enough to solidify his avdut, but they went a step further. When he stuck his head out of the water, when he was emerging out of the mikveh, they put a bucket of tar or of cement of teeth, as she says, on his head. The Amrulen, they told him while he was in the mikveh, Zil amte lebe marach, go bring it to your master's house. Which is already, they started using him as a eved when he was still in the mikveh. Go to work. Now, that before she pointed out that this was not necessary, but they just wanted to do it befirsum, in public, so everybody could see that this guy's a slave already. That he cannot come along and say, oh, I did it the Shem ben Horin. What the Shem ben Horin? Already in the water itself, you already had, you were serving your mesach. Let me put a basket on the guy's head. Amar le rapapa le rava haze mor hani debe papa bar abba. These servants of papa bar abba de yahave zuzel inshel chargayu, he paid the tax collector the head tax umishabede behu, and therefore he is using them as slaves, which means in the olden days, every person had to pay a certain head tax to the king. So the Gemara says over here that Papa Bar Abba had servants. How did he get these servants? These servants were aniyim. They weren't able to pay the head tax. So he would pay the head tax for them. As a result, he ended up owning them. Because the rule is, whoever pays the head tax to somebody else, he owns them. So the Gemara says, look at Papa Bar Abba. He has all these slaves over here, this goyim, and they're working for him. And what's the pshat? How are they working for him? Because he paid chargayu. He paid the head tax. So the Gemara wants to know a question. Ki nafke, when they go out, which means when they go free, tzriche gita dechiruta or lo, which means, do they need a get shechrur or not? You normally, when you free your slave, you have to write him up a shtar. So the question was, to what extent does Papa Bar Abba own these people? Does he own them kinyana goof? And therefore they're regular slaves, therefore when they go for you gotta write them a shtar and get shahrur. Or does he just own their work? Which means ma'aseh yedehem. Because technically he didn't buy them as slaves, he just paid the head tax. So the question is, to what extent did Papa Bar Abba own these avadim? If he wants to free them, does he have to write them an official get shahrur? Or is it enough just to let them go? That's the question.
It makes a difference with head tax, no?
So the Gemara says it makes a difference what the government what the law of the government is, which means when you pay the head tax, what is it considered you own? Do you own the goy himself, or you just own his work? So the Gemara answers, Amale, so Rabba answers, Ichu shechive, if I would have died, lo amri lechu hay milta, I would not have been able to answer this question, which means it's good thing you asked me this question, because if I would have died, I wouldn't be able to answer you this. I have the answer, I wouldn't be able to transmit it to you, because I heard it. Haki amar av sheshat, moharakayu dahane betafsa de malka manah, which means the seal of bondage is in the, I guess we'll call it the chest,
the king's chest,
meaning like the box of the king, which means they are all servants of the king. The king owns them. Okay, he has their bill of deed of ownership, and therefore umalka amar, the king says, man de lo yaif karga, somebody who doesn't pay their head tax, mishtabed de man de yaif karga, he becomes the servant of the one that pays the head tax. So therefore the king is mamash giving over these workers, these aniim, kedana guf. And therefore it's a regular avid. And therefore when they go free, he has to write them a get, like a regular avid, kenani. Comes the Gemara, continues. If Hiya bar Abba ikla li gabla. Hiya bar Abba came to a place called Gabla. Hazah, he saw the following things. Benot Yisrael, he saw Jewish girls, the me'abran, that they were pregnant, migirim shemalu velo tablu, from converts that circumcised themselves but did not go to the mikveh. We're going to learn according to the hakamim, for a convert to be legitimate, he's got to do milah and tevilah, the shem girut. So these ladies were pregnant from converts that were only did half a procedure. Furthermore, he saw v'haza hamra di Yisrael, he saw Jewish wine, the mezgeh of the kochavim, he saw that the goyim were diluting the wine, they were pouring water into the wine to dilute it, the shatu Yisrael, and the Jews subsequently were drinking from this wine. Thirdly, the hazah turmosin, he saw the turmosin like the beans, the shalke of the kochavim, the goyim were cooking them, stewing them, the achle Yisrael, and the Jews were eating them. Velo amar dehu velamide, but he didn't tell them anything. Atale kamed Rabbi Yohanan, so he went to Rabbi Yohanan to tell him what these guys are doing. Number one, they're married, they're pregnant from these gerim, and they're drinking the wine that the goyim are diluting, and they're eating the turmosim that the goyim are cooking. So Rabbi Yohanan said, amar le, say ve'achrez al b'neim shem mamzerim. First, go make an announcement that their children are memzerim, and the wine is considered yayin nesek, they're not that drink from it and benefit from it. And go tell them about those beans, mishum bishul of the kochavim. Tell them it's considered bishul akum, and why the fi she'enam b'nei Torah, because they are not Torah people. Now we'll see what that means. What do you mean, Bishul Akum, because they're not Torah people? If it's Bishul Akum, it's Bishul Akum, even if they are Torah people. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what that means. Al b'nehem shem mamzerim. What does it mean when he told them that their children are mamzerim? Rabbi Yohanan l'tameh. Rabbi Yohanan coined this reason that we learned on yesterday's daf. De'amar v'chaya bar abamar Rabbi Yohanan le'olam en ger ad shiyamud v'yitbol. First of all, he holds that what? A ger is not a ger until he does milah and tevilah. And then were these gerim were not gerim, they were really goyim. V'chevan de'lo tabi'i, since they didn't go to the mikveh, oved kochavimu, they considered goyim. V'amar rabba bar Yohanan, oved kochavim, ve'eved haba al bat Yisrael, havalad mamzer. Remember on yesterday's daf we had shitot, that we said if a goy has relations with a Jewish, the child is considered a mamzer. So then he said, hey, these are not converts over here. They didn't do the full procedure. They didn't do tabila. Therefore, Rabbi Yohanan l'shitate, the kids are mamzerim. Val yinam mishum yayin nesech. Now really, yayin nesech is really only in a case where the goy takes the wine itself and pours it. Here, they poured water into the wine. So why should he all say it? So he says, mishum lech amrinan Amrin Nizira Sehor Sehor Lekarmal Lotiklav. Because the people, they tell the Nazir, he's the one that's asur to drink wine or grapes, they tell him, there's the vine, Sehor Sehor, go around, don't walk through the vineyard. Why? Because you might come to eat. So just like we put a fence in front of the Nazir, don't say anywhere in the Torah that you can't walk through a vineyard. But what? Don't walk around it. Lekarma lotikrav. So the same thing over here. Since bottom line, from their koach, the wine moved. By them pouring water into the wine, the goyim, they caused the wine to move, even though they didn't touch it directly. So he said, you know what? As a fence, tell them they can't drink their wine because of yayin nesech. Oh, v'al turmusin. And regarding the eating of these turmusin, mishum bishule of the kokavim nefish enam b'nei Torah, because they were not Torah people. Gemara says, ha b'nei Torah shari? But if they were Torah people, then they could eat the bishul akum, they could eat food that was cooked by goyim. Gemara v'amar rav shvu'ed, bar rav yitzhak, b'shemei derav, kol ane'ekal kemot shehu hai. Any food that's edible raw, in bo mishul mishum bishule of the kochavim. That's all. If it can be eaten raw, there's no problem if the goy cooked it. They had turmus enon echal kemot shehu hai, but a turmus cannot be eaten raw, and therefore v'yesh bo mishum bishule of the kochavim. So therefore, what did he tell him? Tell him it's bishul akum only because they're not b'nei Torah. Doesn't matter. Even if they were b'nei Torah, bottom line, it's not eaten raw. Therefore, they cooked it. Therefore, the chavrat should be asur. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yohanan, ki idach l'shna sfida, Rabbi Yohanan holds like another opinion that says, Tamar of Shul bar Yitzchak, b'shemei derav, kol she'en ole al shuhan melachim, le'echol bo et apat, en bo mishum b'shule ovde kuchavim. So you have a rule. Anything that a king would not eat on his table with bread, it's called en ole al shuhan melachim, is not considered subject to the law of Bishul Akum. And therefore the turmus is not only al shulchan melachim. And therefore technically there's no Bishul Akum by the turmus. Also, then why was Rabbi Yohanan mahmir on them? Betama de'enam b'nei Torah. Only because these guys were not b'nei Torah, they were amei aretz. And therefore if you're going to matir them turmusim, they're not going to know the shiluk of it, because in all that shulchan melachim, they can come along and say Bishul Akum is mutar in all cases. So therefore that's why, because since they weren't b'nei Torah, you had to be mahmir on them by the case of Bishul Akum of the turmus. Ha b'nei Torah shari. But you're right, if they would have been b'nei Torah, the turmus would have been permissible. Why? Because it's in ole al shulchan melachim, therefore that's subject to the law of Bishul Akum. Okay, now we go to a very important machloket. Taru Rabbanan. We have a braita. Ger shemal velo tabal. Let's say a ger, he circumcised himself, a male, but he did not go to the mikveh. Rabbi Eliezer omer hare ze ger. Rabbi Eliezer says, mila alone is enough. Shechen matzinu ba'avotenu shemalu velo tablu. We saw by our forefathers, referring to the Jews that left Mitzrayim. They ended up leaving Mitzrayim and they ended up going and standing in front of Har Sinai to receive the Torah. They went from Bnei Noach, they ended up becoming Jews. And we see that what? Before they left Mitzrayim, they took a Brit Milah. We don't see that they went to the Mikveh. So therefore, you see, and they're considered Jewish. So therefore, you see what? For conversion, it's enough just to do a Brit Milah, Shechen Matzinu Ba'avotenu. Our forefathers that came out of Egypt. So the Gemara says, Tabal Velomal. Let's say a convert went to the Mikveh, but he didn't circumcise. The opposite. Rabbi Yoshua Omer. Rabbi Yoshua says, Harez Eger. He says, that's a ger. Tevilah's enough. Shechen Matzinu Be'immahot Shetablu Velomalu. The ladies that came out of Mitzrayim, obviously they didn't do Brit Milah, but we're going to see later on that they must have went to the Mikveh, and if we see Mikveh, enough is able to make a convert. So now, B'chamim Omrim, third opinion, Tabal velo mal velo tabal, en ger, achi mol v'yitbol. Hakamim say, you gotta do both. You gotta do Milah and Tebilah. So let's review the Shitot over here. According to the Bili Ezer, it's enough what? Milah. According to Rabbi Yoshua, it's enough Tevilah. According to Hachamim, both. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua that says what? Tevilah is enough. Nilef me'avot. Let him learn from the men. The man took a Brit Milah. So therefore the Kaurah, Brit Milah should be enough. Rabbi Eliezer that says, Milah is enough. Namen nilef me'imahot. Let him learn from the imahot. That what? That Tevilah is enough. Now, you might come along and say, well, the Bili Ezer can't learn from the Imahot at Tevilah Zeraf because they can't do Brit Milah. Right. And we have a rule that says, En Danin Efshar Mi'i Efshar. You can't learn a law on somebody that's able from somebody that's unable. Just because the ladies didn't take a Brit Milah, you can't learn from there and say, well, they didn't take a Brit Milah, they just did Tevilah, so men also. They're Efshar. Maybe the men that's able to Brit Milah have to. But we're going to prove that the Bili Ezer holds that Shita, that you can learn Efshar from Efshar. So therefore, once you know that you can learn Efshar from Efshar, we have a good question. How come he doesn't learn from the ladies that Tevilah should not be enough? Now, where do you see that the Bili Ezer learns Efshar? Maybe ultimately the Ezer holds that you cannot learn an Efshar from an Efshar. We learned in the bright that the Ezer omer minayin lePesach dorot. How do we know that the Korban Pesach of the generations she'en ba ilam minacholin? The money that you used to buy the Korban Pesach, how do you know it's got to come from free money? Meaning that it cannot come from money that was designated for Maaser Shini. How do you know that from? Well, Ne'emar Pesach b'Mitzrayim. Well, we know that Jewish people brought the Korban Pesach when they were in Egypt. V'Ne'emar Pesach b'Dorot. And we know that subsequently you have to bring Korban Pesach as well. Ma Pesach amud b'Mitzrayim en ba'ela menacholim. Well, just like the Pesach and Mitzrayim, from what money did it come from? From free money. From unconsecrated money. Af Pesach amud b'Dorot, so to the Pesach of the generations, en ba'ela menacholim. So Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva tells Rabbi Ezer, V'chi darin efshar m'shei efshar? What are you talking? In Egypt, the reason why it didn't come from Maaser money, because there was no such thing as Maaser money. So how did you learn from Mitzrayim to the Dorot? Amalei afal pi shei efshar, ra'ya gedolahi. Doesn't matter. Even though it's efshar, it's a proof. They bought only from unconsecrated money in Egypt, so therefore that's the ra'ya. So therefore, v'nilmad, hemer, then you can learn from it. So therefore, we'll go back to the question. Rabbi Ezer, how come you say milah ze'ikar, right? Why don't you learn from the ladies that came out of Mitzrayim where they only did tevilah? You should tevilah, man. Don't tell me in that efshar, it's efshar, because we know Rabbi Ezer says, you are. You do learn efshar, it's efshar. So the Gemara revamps the machloket. The Gemara says like this. Ela, new way of learning the machlok. Betabal velo mal kole alma lo perigi de mahani. Tevilah is enough according to everybody. There's no argument on that. She's even a Bili Ezer will learn from the ladies that since they dipped when they came out of Egypt and they're considered Jewish, Tevilah alone is enough. So what's the machloket between the Bili Ezer and the Yoshua? Ki peligi bemal velo tabal. That's the machloket. If you did Milah alone, the Bili Ezer Yalif Me'avot. The Bili Ezer learns from the Avot, which means the Jews, the men that came out of Mitzrayim, they circumcised themselves. The Rabbi Yeshua Be'avot Name Tevilah Hava. So the Rabbi Yeshua says, you have no Ra'ayah from the Avot. Because I'll tell you, the men, not only did they circumcise themselves, they also dipped themselves in the mikveh. How do we know that the men dipped themselves in the mikveh? How does the Rabbi Yeshua know when the men came out of Egypt that they didn't only do Brit Milah, they also went to the mikveh? Midichtiv, because it says in the pasuk by Matan Torah, Lech la'am v'kiddashtam ayom. God tells the people, go, God tells Moshe, go to the people and prepare them. Umachar, hayom umachar, terein tamav, v'chibbesu simlotam. Go wash their clothes. Now the assuming of here, washing clothes means dip the clothes in the mikveh. So the Gemara now is going to make a kav v'chomer. If they had to dip their clothes in the mikveh, certainly they have to dip themselves. What's the kal v'chomer? Uma bimkom she'en ta'un kibus ta'un tevilah. Let's say a case where a guy became a ba'al keri, where he has to dip himself in the mikveh, but he doesn't have to dip his clothes. He doesn't have to dip his clothes, a ba'al keri. He just has to dip himself. So in a case where he has to dip himself and has to dip his clothes, makom she'ta'un kibus, legabe matan Torah, where you even need to dip your clothes, enodin she'ta'un tevilah, certainly you would have to do tevilah at a goof. So therefore, that's what Yeshua knows, the men must have went to the mikveh. From the fact that Torah says you had to do kibus begadim, kal v'chomer, he had to do also tevilah at a goof. Who told you? V'dilma nikiyut be'alma. Maybe this kibus begadim is not mikveh at all. Maybe God was telling them, wash their clothes. So they're clean. So which means when you go to Matan Torah, you'll have white clothes, or it won't be dirty. Like what the Matan Torah, you have no, who says we're even talking about mikveh? That's just fine. Rabbi Yeshua proved that the men went to the mikveh from a different pasuk. Ela mehacha. Vayikach Moshe et adam. It says Moshe took the blood of the korban that they brought before Matan Torah. Vayizrok al'am. he sprinkled the Jewish people with the blood in order to purify them. The Gemidi, we have a tradition. De'en hazaah belo tebilah. We know that before a person can become sprinkled on, he's got to go to the mikveh. So therefore, they must have went to the mikveh before. So that we have no da'ayah that milah is enough. Because the men also did tevilah. When did they do tevilah? Before they made hazaah. Oh, so now the Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Yoshua tevilah bi'imahot minalan," which means Rabbi Yoshua, you said what? That the women, they made tevilah, correct? And therefore, everybody holds tevilah is enough. And where do we see that from? Because the ladies, when they went out of Egypt, they did tevilah. Where do you know that from? Now, we can say simply that they also sprinkled before Matan Torah, and therefore the same thing we just said, when you sprinkled, therefore you also have to go to the mikveh. But let's say that maybe only was master, the men were sprinkled. So therefore, if that's the case, how do you know the ladies had to go to the mikveh? Hey, give us a sevarahu. Simple logic. If they didn't do tevilah, then what did they do to come into the under the wings of Shekhinah? Brit Milah they couldn't do. If you tell me they didn't do mikveh either, what, they did nothing? So they were sevara, they had to go to the mikveh. So they were telling Rabbi Yeshua knows that they did the mikveh. So again, let's get them out, look at good. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, what, it's enough just to do a Brit Milah. Right? Which everybody agrees, if you did mikveh, it's good. Machloket if you did Milah alone. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he says, well, Davot, when they went out of Sunday, they did Brit Milah. So Rabbi Yeshua says, no, they also did Tevilah. How do we know the men did tevilah? Because they got sprinkled. And we have a tradition. If you get sprinkled, you have to do a tevilah as well before. Therefore, you have no idea that they just did a beat me not. So, Kazi Gabaran says, Amar v'chaya barabam rabbi Yohanan, le'olam eno ger ad shimol v'yitbol. He gives halakha v'chaya barabah. He says, halakha is what? You're not a ger until you do milah and tevilah, which means he's posik like hakamim. So, Gabaran says, peshita, yachid v'rabim alachek rabim. Of course, what do you need to be honored to tell me this halakha for? We know it's when the hachamim are the majority opinion. We have a standing rule, yahid v'rabim alachek rabim. So of course we're not going to go like the other opinions. Rabbi Yoshua, we're going to take the opinion that says you need to do milah and tevilah. So what does he have to come along and tell me this? He says, no, man hachamim, Rabbi Yoseh. The hachamim over here are not the majority opinion. Hachamim over here are actually the opinion of Rabbi Yoseh. So they're also considered da'at. Yahid. So therefore when he said we're going to follow the opinion that you have to go to Milah and Milah, it's Hadush. Now, how do you know it's Rabbi Yoseh? The Tanya, we have a Braita. Interesting case. Hares Sheba, let's say you have a Ger, comes on in front of the rabbis, Ve'amar Malti, he already says, I circumcised myself, Ve'lo Tavalti, but I did not dip in the Mikveh. Now, we can't really take his word, legabe milah. You want to make the guy Jewish here. The guy on his own word, he's saying, yeah, my brit milah is kasher. He did the brit milah, he let the blood, and he's cut the right part, whatever it is. So the Gemara says, what do you do in such a case? The guy comes along and says, listen, I'm telling you, I circumcised myself, but I didn't go to the mikveh. So you know what the Gemara says? Matbidin oto, just throw him in the mikveh, l'shem gerut, umabekach. And what do I care what his brit milah is? Devei Rabbi Yehuda. Because since the ikar is the tevilah, so even if I don't believe him on what he said, the gabe is brit milah, it doesn't matter. Since the tevilah is the ikar, once you put him in the mikveh, machpatli what his brit milah is. So that's the shitav Rabbi Yehuda that says what? It sounds like the tevilah is the ikar. Rabbi Yoseh Omer en matbilin. Rabbi Yoseh says, no, you cannot be matbil. Why? Because if his milah is no good, so the tevilah is nothing. Therefore he says what? You gotta go now, verify his brit milah, and after you verify his brit milah, then you put him in the mikveh. So what do you see according to the Biyoseh? You gotta have both. You gotta have milah, and you gotta have tevilah, which means, why did Biyoseh just say, I put him in the mikveh? No, because obviously he holds what? You got to make sure that the brit milah is okay, and only after the brit milah is okay, then you put him in the mikveh. So that's what the look at Rashi. En matbilin shem aravi mahul. Maybe the guy, why is he circumcised? He's an Arab. The Arabs get circumcised also. Maybe he's a Givoni. They also had circumcision.
He's born with
that. No, he's born with it. and you got have to take some blood. That's the deen. So because Rabbi Yosef says what you need, tarte, you need both. Oh, so therefore you see what? Rabbi Yosef the shita that says you need both. Therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan came along and said halakha, that you have to do both, it wasn't halakha kerabim. He would say halakha kerabim Yosef. So based on this machloket, we have an interesting halakha now. Lefichach, matbilim ger b'shabbat devrer b'yuda. We have a law like this. Let's say the ger comes in front of us and we know that his brit milah is kasher. Okay? So the Biyuda says, if you know the brit milah was kasher, you can actually dip the ger in the mikveh on Shabbat. Because normally we have a rule, we don't want a convert to dip in the mikveh on Shabbat because it looks like we're fixing him. It's like tikkun mana, you're fixing the man. Now even though we have to point out that if somebody's tameh, he's not to go to the mikveh on Shabbat. But over there, because we can answer that it looks like he's just going to cool himself off. It's not evident that he's doing it to take the tumah off himself. But if I can say, hey, he's just going to cool himself off. So it doesn't look like a tikkun. But Sheikh, when a guy goes to the mikveh, he's got to go in front of Beit Din. And therefore, it's obvious that he's going to mitaken himself. But according to the Biyuda, since milah is okay, and we know his milah is good, so the mikveh really is extra. He's mitukan already. Therefore, he can go to the mikveh according to the Biyuda on Shabbat. Because already once the milah is good, so therefore he's considered a ger. Rabbi Yosef Omer and matbilin. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yosef, you need both. And therefore, even though you establish and say that the milah is good, he still needs the milah. And therefore, by going into the milah, it's going to make a tikkun on him. And therefore, you cannot do it on Shabbat. That's what comes out as a result of the machloket. Comes Gemara and says, "Amar Mor." Now we're going to analyze. Lefichach matbilin ger b'Shabbat. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're able to matbil a ger on Shabbat. You know that his brit milah is good already, right? So since you know his brit milah is good already, lechaora is Jewish. So therefore, what's the problem to put him in the mikveh on Shabbat? Already, he's mitukan because it's pshita. Is that obvious? Kevad damar Rabbi Yehuda behad asagya. Since Rabbi Yehuda says that one is enough, hecha demal lefaninu, where to circumcise in front of us, but he don't even last good. Matpilin, of course you could dip him in the mikveh. My lefichach, what is the chiddush of lefichach? Is it obvious? Gemara says no. Ma'u detema l'Rabbi Yehuda tevila ikar. Because maybe I'll tell you that according to Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, one is enough. And what's the ikar? Maybe I'll tell you that tevila is the ikar. And then with tevila with Shabbat, Lord, the kamita ken gavra. And then I'll tell you, maybe you're not going to let him go to the mikveh because bottom line looks like he's fixing himself. Kamash ma'alan, Rabbi Yehuda, oha, oha ba'e. Either one. Which means either milah or tevila, which is Rabbi Yehuda that says one is enough. I would have thought maybe the one is enough means tevila. And therefore, if the milah is good, maybe don't go to tevila on Shabbat because that's the ikar is the tevila. Kamashana, Rabbi Yehuda says oha, oha. Either one. And then once the milah is good, there's no problem to go on the tevila on Shabbat because it's not doing it's nice to have both, but it's not mitaken de gavra. Therefore, you have no problem. Now go the other way. Rabbi Yosef Omer in Matpilin. Rabbi Yosef says, when you just establish that the milah is good, we're not going to let him go to the mikveh. Pshita, the keva namar Rabbi Yosef, talte ba'inan. Since Rabbi Yosef says you need both, you need milah and tevilah. Tikkun gavra b'shabbat lo mitakeninan. Of course you can't let him go to the mikveh. You're fixing him. It says tikkun gavra. Because I'm out of the table of Rabbi Yosef, milah ikar. Because maybe I would think, according to Rabbi Yosef, maybe the main item is what? The brit milah. Ve'hatam hu de'lo havai milah b'fanenu. And that's why in the case where the milah was questionable, that's why the Rabbi Yosef said, you have to make hatnafat, because the milah is the ikar. But if the milah is in front of us, I might tell the guy just go to the mikveh and chill, because it could be according to the Biyosef, milah is the ikar. Because all I know the Biyosef's first statement. What was the Biyosef's first statement? If the milah is questionable, we can't let him go to the mikveh. So I can argue, because milah is the ikar. And therefore, the Gabbai Shabbat, if I know the milah is good, throw him in the mikveh on Shabbat. Because It's not mitaken. Kamashmalan, Rabbi Yosef tarti ba'e. That's what's going to say. No, Rabbi Yosef says you need both. The fact that we said that if the milah is not good, you can't put him in the mikveh, means you got to redo the milah and then put him in the mikveh. I mean, you need both. Nafkamina. If all he had is a brit milah, I'm not going to let him go to the mikveh on Shabbat. Because bottom line, you need both. Therefore, it's going to be metaken gabra. So that's the machlok to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef. Are we going to say one is enough? Or milah or tebilah? According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yosef, dafka both. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda had to come along and say, alachak hachamim. And who's the hachamim? Rabbi Yosef? That says a ger is not a ger till he has milah and tebilah. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabba, Ubda hava berbihiya bar rabbi. There was a case, Ruvda, by Ribhiya bar rabbi. That's one rabbi. The Rav Yosef Matni, Rav Yosef added that a case happened in front of Rabbi Oshaya bar Rav. He added a second rabbi to the situation. There were two rabbis that were dealing with the case. The Rav Safra Matni, Rav Safra says, Rav Oshaya b'Rabbi Hiya. There was actually three rabbis. He added Rav Oshaya b'Rabbi Hiya. So according to Rav Safra, there were three rabbis that were dealing with the following case. Who were the three rabbis? You had Rabbi Hiya bar Rabbi. You had Rav Oshaya bar Rabbi. And Rav Oshaya b'Rabbi Hiya. Okay, now what were they dealing with? You had a convert that came in front of them. He did brit milah, but he did not go to the mikveh, and it happened to be night. He came to them at night. So they told the guy, Shahe kan ad lemahar, wait until tomorrow morning, vinit bilinach, and we'll dip you in the mikveh. From this story, you learn three halachot. Shma'mina tilat. Shma'mina ger sarich shilosha. Well, you see over that a ger, when he goes to the mikveh, you gotta have three rabbis of Bet Din that are overseeing the tevila. Why? Because Rav Safra went out of his way to say there was a third rabbi there. Why did he go out of his way to say there was a third rabbi there? Ella must be because that's the halakha. So therefore you see when the ger goes to the mikveh, he can't just come along and say, I went to the mikveh. No, you have to have a Bet Din of three overseeing. And you also see why you need both. Because he came along and said he had the milah, but what? They made him go to the mikveh. So you see we're going like the opinion that says you need a milah plus a tevilah. And you see also that you don't dip a ger at night. Because what they tell him, wait till tomorrow morning, and then we'll take them go to the mikveh. So the Gemara says we can learn a fourth thing. These rabbis of it were all experts. They weren't stam three people. They were all great rabbis. So maybe learn from it that when you go and oversee a conversion into the mikveh, you need three great rabbis, like in the story. The Gemara has no proof to that. Dilma de'ikli'u. Maybe they happen just to be three great rabbis. We have no ra'aya that you need three great hakamim. You see you need three, because Rav Safra went out of his way and said there was a third rabbi there. Okay, so you need three, but just happened to be there, but three great. But who told you, maybe you don't need mumhin at the process. Last halakha. Rabbi Hiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yohanan ger sarik shilosha. Now why do you need a bet din at all? Mishpat ketiv be. Because by ger, it says the word mishpat. It says mishpat echad yelachem velager. And we know that mishpat, judgment, monetary judgment, for example, in pachot mishlosha. So therefore, just like in mishpat, you need shilosha, so too by the conversion, you also need a betin of shilosha. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.